Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 5. Bit of an emotional weekend for me this weekend. This time last year, I was burying my wife. But I'm reminded this morning that there's hope, in that she will live again, and that all of us who die will live again. And that's what we're celebrating here today, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so that brings me hope and that brings me comfort as I think about that event, and many of you who I'm sure think about those that you have lost, and you're waiting to see Christ return and raise them from the dead. So, amen that Jesus Christ has risen. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's dig into Romans chapter 5. We're going to talk about basically the key reason that this event took place. And I want us to begin by looking at verse 6, and we're going to read through to verse 11. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You as we come before You this morning. Come before Your Word, the truth of Your Word, and the testimony of Your Word, that You have raised Your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, the first fruits of the dead. In other words, He is the first one who has been raised from the dead who will never die again. And Lord, that is our hope as we place our faith in You, that as we enter into death, that we will be raised from the dead, never to die again. For those of us who have faith in this great event in history, and faith in the person and work of Your Son, Jesus Christ, there will be no second death. We praise You for that. And Lord, we thank You that through this amazing act of grace and love, You have reconciled us with Yourself. We who were Your enemies, You have reached out to and have loved. And so, Lord, as we explore that a little bit today, I pray that You would remind us of how great and how awesome is Your love, is Your mercy, is Your forgiving heart towards us. And we celebrate that again today as Your chosen people. And we pray it in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. For our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God, Paul says. That's an amazing statement. God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And our friendship with God has been restored by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies. And we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. And we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. That's another amazing statement. Let me say it again. We will certainly be restored through the life of His Son. Can I hear an amen to that? We will be restored.
While we were still enemies, Paul says. Another amazing statement. While we were still enemies, God reached out to us in love. Now, you've heard me talk about this lady before, and you've probably heard this story, some of you, before. Corrie ten Boom, wonderful lady from World War II. If you don't know her story, she was a Dutch lady. Her dad was a watchmaker. And in their little house, they had sheltered Jews that were being persecuted by the Nazis. Now, I want you to think about what's happening overseas right now with ISIS and how they are storming across the countryside with cruelty. This is what the Nazis were doing as well. And the Jews were in peril. And Corrie ten Boom's father and family sheltered some Jewish people in a little small room. And they were arrested for their trouble and put in a prison camp where all of her family died except for Corrie. And there was a guard who was particularly cruel to them when they had arrived at the camp. And particularly cruel to her sister, Betsy. And Corrie had a lot of anger in her heart towards this guard over the years. The war ended. Corrie survived the concentration camp. And shortly after the war was over, she began to preach the gospel of love of Jesus Christ in Germany. And so here's something that she testifies to as she suddenly met this guard who had been so cruel to them. And she wasn't sure if he remembered her or not, but she remembered him with a lot of anger in her heart. It was in a church in Munich that I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken, moving along the rows of wooden chairs to the door at the rear. It was 1947, and I had come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. It was the truth they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed-out land, and I gave them my favorite mental picture. Maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind, I like to think that that's where forgiven sins are thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God casts them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There were never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People would stand up in silence collected their wraps, and in silence would leave the room. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, the next a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. Came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the room, the shame of walking naked past this man. And I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribbed sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. And now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all of our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned the Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he didn't remember me. But since that time, he went on, I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I'd like to hear it from your lips as well. Fräulein, again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And I stood there. I, whose sins had again and again to be forgiven, and I could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place. How could he possibly erase her slow, terrible death simply by asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing that I ever had to do. For I had to do it, I knew that. The message that God forgives is a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. But I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. However, forgiveness is not an emotion, and I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Help, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand, I can do that much. Lord, supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried. With all of my heart, I forgive you. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. And I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. For while we were still his enemies, God reconciled us to himself by the death of his Son. And how much more shall we have through his resurrection life? For to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And this, folks, is the message of Easter. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. It is God's desire that all men would be saved. And while we were still enemies, our passage tells us, God reconciled us to himself. That's the message of Easter. Years and years ago, David had been chased by King Saul. Saul had been appointed as the first king of Israel. But because of some things that he had done, God began to shift his anointing on Saul and decided that David would be the next king of Israel, and Saul was enraged. Saul had power. He didn't want to lose what he had, and he chased David all over the countryside trying to kill him. For years, David was running from King Saul. And then there was a day where he was hiding in a cave, and Saul's army came by with Saul, and Saul, how do we put it? Nature called. And so he got off his horse and he went into this cave that they had stumbled upon to do his business. And David was in there, and Saul didn't know it. And David had every opportunity to get revenge on Saul. He had every opportunity to kill Saul. And the whole thing would be over. Take your Bibles and turn for a minute to 1 Samuel 24. David had gone into the wilderness of En Gedi, verse 1. And so Saul chose 3,000 elite troops from all of Israel and went to search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. And at the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding farther back in that very cave. "Now's your opportunity," David's men whispered to him. "Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with you as to do with as you wish." And so David crept forward. And he cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. "The Lord knows I should not have done that to my lord the king," he said to his men. "The Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king and attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." And so David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. And after Saul had left the cave and gone on his way, David came out and shouted after him, "My lord, the king!" And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. Now look at verse 16. When David had finished speaking, Saul called back, "Is that really you, my son David?" And then he began to cry. And he said to David, "You're a better man than I am, for you have repaid me good for evil. Yes, you've been amazingly kind to me today, for when the Lord put me in a place where you could have killed me, you didn't do it. Who else would let his enemy get away when he had him in his power? May the Lord reward you well for the kindness you have shown me today. And now I realize that you are surely going to be king and that the kingdom of Israel will flourish under your rule. Now please swear to me by the Lord that when that happens, you will not kill my family and destroy my line of descendants." And so David promised this to Saul with an oath. And then Saul went home. But David and his men went back to their stronghold. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. That's the message of Easter. While we were still enemies, God sent His Son for us. Now, how many of you have heard of this outlet down in the United States? Chick-fil-A. How many of you have eaten there? Yeah, it ain't good. I've never been. It's just amazing. Eh? It is the bomb, is it? From what I understand, it's a huge chain down there. I don't know if you heard what happened a few years ago, but Chief executive officer went on public record saying that he was in favor of traditional marriage. And all hell broke loose after he said that. The homosexual lesbian crowd was in a fury. They picketed outlets across the United States. The press got involved. It became a national incident. And David Cathy, the chief executive officer, who made this public statement that he was in favor of traditional Christian marriage, was under the gun. One day, while there was a huge picket going on around one of the flagship franchises, David Cathy, nobody knew this, but he slipped out into the crowd because he knew that the leader of one of the gay pride movements was out there. And he didn't go out there to kick them off his property or to have an argument with him. He went out there to make friends with the man and to hear him out and to listen. And they talked for quite a while. And it didn't really make the news because the news is more interested in the inflammatory stuff. But he reached out to his enemy. And his enemy wrote this. His name was Steve Windmeyer. He wrote about it later on in a magazine, and he said this: "Dan, the CEO of Chick-fil-A, expressed a sincere interest in my life, wanting to get to know me on a personal level. He wanted to know about where I grew up, my faith, my family, even my husband, Tommy. In return, I learned about his wife and kids and gained an appreciation for his devout belief in Jesus Christ and his commitment to being a follower of Christ more than a Christian. Dan expressed regret and genuine sadness when he heard of people being treated unkindly in the name of Chick-fil-A. But he offered no apologies for his genuine beliefs about marriage. Jesus said, "Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you." That's the message of Easter. Knowing that Judas was his enemy and that Judas would betray him in just a few short hours, Jesus in that upper room knelt at those treacherous feet with a basin of water and a cloth and gently washed Judas' feet. Love your enemies and do good to them. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was arrested. And Peter had pulled out a sword and cut off one of the soldier's ears. And Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and he healed him. Love your enemies and do good to them. That's the message of Easter. For while we were still enemies, God loved us. Who has God placed in your life that you need to forgive and do good to? A family member? Somebody you thought was your friend? Someone you do ministry with? Dishonest business here in the city? Who has God placed in my life that I need to forgive and reach out to and bless? I don't want to just be a Christian. I want to be a follower of Jesus. And Jesus reached out to his enemies. And he blessed them. When we are utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Most people wouldn't be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. And so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have loved us with an unending love, with a passionate love, with a love that pursues. Lord, when we're in difficult relationships, it's our human nature to sit by and wait for somebody to come to us and say they're sorry, because we're hurt. Father, you're the same way. You've been hurt by our sin, and yet while we were still sinners, you reached out to us with compassion and with mercy and with love, as you offered your Son to be the ultimate sacrifice to take the punishment for the hurt that we've caused you. How often you must have felt like wringing our necks. And yet, Lord, your love overflowed in your mercy and your grace. And you channeled that fury you had towards our sin onto your Son, Jesus, who was so willing to stand in our place. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to take our sin upon yourself. And not just our sin, which was ugly enough for you to handle, but also the punishment of your Father towards our sin. So that we might be reconciled. So that we would not be punished for what we have done to you. And more than that, we thank you for what Paul testified to this morning. That the resurrection is real, that you rose from the dead, that you were the first fruits of the dead, and that if there's no resurrection, then our faith in you is absolutely useless. We are still in our sin. And if our faith in you is just for this life, we're of all people most to be pitied. But Easter reminds us, Father, that your love is so great for us that you are willing to raise us up out of death and reconcile us with yourself so that we might have eternity with you and that we might be restored and we might be made perfect just as you originally had created us. And that because of the blood of Jesus which was shed for us, and because His righteousness is covering us like a garment when we put our faith in Him, we will stand before you for all of eternity after you have sent your Son to raise us from the dead, and we will be made perfect by what He has done and be able to commune and fellowship with you forever. And we praise you for that today. We thank you, Lord, that while we were still your enemies, you reached out in love to us. And you have forgiven us. And you have brought us back into your family. We praise you for that today. For the cross, for the resurrection, for the faith to believe in it all. For your great love. And as God's blood-bought children, we say to you, Amen.